Give him hell, Dedrick. This one's for our boys overseas. And our boys in the seas. When are they going to pick them up from the middle of the seas?
Wish they would.
Yeah.
The Omaha.
It's shark season.
The Omaha story again.
Yeah. What?
From Jaws?
Oh, very good.
You know, Captain.
I always thought you meant Omaha Cat Dancer, the pornographic graphic novel.
They're all floating in the sea with their flotation devices or Omaha the Cat Dancer trade paperbacks.
Which is terrible because they're all cats, so they would hate being in the water.
And the books, they don't last very long. The binding's not that good. It's no. Kitchen sink. They just didn't have the greatest
binding. That's why they were breaking up. That's right. That was why. Bad bindings. Anyway, start the show, you perv.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I'm Ian Boothby, and we're starting giddy, folks. I'm not going to lie to you.
And we have bad news.
Oh, what's the bad news, Dave? Go good news, bad news. So give me the good news first.
There's no good news.
Well, there's no good news.
The good news is...
Wow, this is weird because, being a Christian, normally you do have some good news.
Here's the good news is we're going to have to stop Sneaky Dragon.
Oh.
Well, our website
okay,
was...
Okay, bye.
Yeah.
I'm out.
See you later. Yeah. I'll explain why while you leave. All right. Our website was hacked by the North Koreans, and a lot of sensitive web mails were taken. So... A lot of stuff, a lot of gossip is being spread around about Sneaky Dragon and some of the things we said about some of our listeners. And I just don't think it's tenable for us to keep doing the show. Also, there were some threats against us or something like that. I don't know.
Hey, Dave, I came back.
I feel like everyone's just giving up.
Dave, I just came back.
Yes. Oh, good. Thanks.
You know what's funny? I can't leave this room.
You cannot?
I go downstairs and I'm immediately back here.
You're immediately back here.
Yeah.
Wow. It's as if it's your own office.
So you're saying that this show is canceled. We're pulling it because of threatening...
Threatening emails. Well, threatening actions, activities.
Threatening activities.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what horrible secrets about us were revealed?
Well, the worst one, I think, is the your vitamin D deficiency.
Yeah, there's no need for that.
It's all over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
My love of Vicky Carr... Which
Bruce Wayne's girlfriend.
Is that who Vicky Carr is?
Nope. That would be Vicky Vale.
The 70s lounge singer. You know, it's like my record collection's online now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how they got into every time I buy a record, I type it into my database.
Mm-hmm.
That's out there now.
I think it's just known as you're the guy that still buys records.
No, it's popular now.
It is popular now.
I was just looking. I did not click on it, but mm-hmm. I was looking. There was an article telling us why records came back.
And why is that?
I don't know. I didn't click on it.
Oh, that's great.
I saw the headline.
There was an album called Why Records Have Come Back, you would have put that album
on. I'm not in favor of it.
You don't like records coming back.
No, I don't.
And yet you're buying them.
Well, yeah.
Do you see the problem?
No, I don't.
It's like being angry at the heroin trade you're buying heroin.
What I liked was when our mums and dads and people a little
used
older
to have
than
key
me
parties.
Were getting, yeah, I like that. But also we're getting rid of their records.
Oh, I see.
I like to get them for cheap. By going to Value Village or Bibles for Missions or wherever. But now, those are all being picked through.
Jeez.
Nothing much less. Left, I should say.
And you know what's coming up now? Zoetropes.
Zoetropes are coming back. Again?
Everyone's wanting to watch their films. Yeah. I just got that Guardians of the Galaxy. I asked, you got that on Zoetrope? And so I got it, and I got the special bonus features Zoetrope.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a big zoetrope.
Yeah.
Like it takes up like a couple of city blocks, mm-hmm. and you got to give that sucker a real good spin.
Yeah.
But the picture is very crisp.
That's nice. Did you get it in 3D?
Yeah, you can go backwards and forwards if you want. That's just bobbing your head. You can do it that way.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you actually get Guardians of the Galaxy on DVD?
Well, here's the thing, Dave. You can't ask me those kind of things because Christmas time is coming.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, the answer is yes.
I will not.
The answer is yes.
I
did get Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, I won't say anything about
it. Yeah, this is the time of year where you can't buy anything for yourselves.
No.
You cannot buy anything for yourselves, even insulin. You cannot buy it for yourself.
Because
wait, and hopefully you'll get it as a gift.
Well, look, you'll get enough candy in your stocking. It will make up for the insulin that you haven't been buying.
Now, I got a quick question for you. You're a man with two dogs.
Yeah.
You're almost a three-dog knight.
We should actually talk about that because someone asked us to talk about our pets.
About our pets. Okay. Well, let's go with this first. Do you wrap a present up for your two dogs on Christmas?
No.
Because they're not Christians.
No, they're dogs.
Oh, I'm trying to think now. Oh, okay, Davy and Goliath. There was a Christian dog.
Sure.
Yeah, from the old claymation there. Christian dog.
Pluto. He's Christian dog.
I'm trying to think if Snoopy ever quoted the Bible in Peanuts, or if that was strictly every other kid.
I think Snoopy is an atheist.
You think Snoopy is an atheist?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think he's I don't know.
It would be interesting if he's the least dogmatic of them all.
That's right. He's an agnostic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like Linus started off being the guy who was like saying the religious texts. But then everyone started quoting. Schroeder would drop one, and then everyone, but let me say, who would never do that?
Don't say Pigpen, because Pigpen did it.
No, I'm not going to say Pigpen. Though I don't think he believed the cleanliness is next to godliness thing.
That's not from the Bible.
It isn't?
I don't think so.
Really? Where's that from?
I don't know. I think it's just a saying.
Ooh, okay, we gotta look that up. We gotta look that up.
We can look it up.
Here's who doesn't. Peppermint Patty.
No. Now there's your
I think Peppermint Patty may have been a Jewish character.
Oh really?
Yeah, I was thinking, why?
Because she wears sandals?
She's from out of town. Marcy really does look like she might be. That's a real possibility. Because I'm trying to think if anyone was any different religion in the Peanuts universe. Yeah. And I'm thinking like they were the out of towners.
Yeah.
Perhaps they were. So I'm going to say...
Were they really outer towners or just from another neighborhood? Because when you were a kid, like even when I was a kid, any houses to the left of my, or the right of my house,
right.
I barely knew any of those kids that direction.
Okay.
All my friends were the left side of me.
Mm-hmm.
All my friends went around, like it was where our house was right on the corner basically. So all the houses that kind of shared, connected to our yard or in that area were all friends.
Right.
But really, I barely knew people on the other side of me.
Well, here's the thing. Peppermint Patty was far enough away. We've already gotten to talking about Peanuts, folks. It's that part of the show. Those of you that are joining us as new listeners, this is the kind of thing we do. And yes, I know there are some new listeners. So, yes, hello. Whenever they had like a visiting team, a baseball team, it would be Peppermint Patty's team. So she was far enough away that there was a separate baseball team. So I'm assuming like Charlie Brown had the one neighborhood and the other neighborhood over was the Peppermint Patty neighborhood.
Yeah, but I don't think that they were a different town, though. I think it was just, you know, like, I don't know if you remember, like, when I was a kid, like...
Oh, by the way, those of you who are new listeners,
When
we talk about our childhoods, you can take a drink. The other time that you can take a drink is if you hear a siren go by. And at some shows, that happens a lot.
When I was a kid, you know, like nowadays, schools don't have catchment. But when we were kids, they had catchments and it was really strict.
What's catchments?
Catchments were the area that a school drew its population from.
Ah, okay.
And so when I was first going to school, when I went to kindergarten, I actually spent one day at a totally different school than I spent the rest of my grade kindergarten, grade six time, because the catchment ended at the end of our street.
Oh.
And so all my friends went to a different school than I did. I went to a school with all the people on the right side of me.
It went straight through your house, and your brother's rooms were on one side.
That's right.
You're on the other.
That's how strict
it was.
And
there was a bitter rivalry between the two of you.
It was the North and South. It was like the Civil War all over again.
Yeah, brother versus brother.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And when the guy came to tell us, he said, I come with a sword. I don't come to bring peace. No, it was...
Is that from the Bible?
That is from the Bible.
And yet cleanliness and godliness is not? I think you got a bum Bible. Let me just say that much.
Why?
Because I think the cleanliness, godliness thing must be in there. Because why would that? Unless that was a Shakespearean thing. It's possible that Shakespeare, that seems like the kind of thing he'd throw in. Damn it. That'd be a good challenge sometime to just go Bible or Shakespeare and do it that way. Now, I don't want to tell tales.
I just want to... okay, don't go.
I was going to say I don't want to tell tales out of school, but you are looking at your phone very feverishly right now. So either you're in the middle of a really intense game of Angry Birds or something's happening.
Yes, that's right. No, I was actually curious because we were talking about it, and it's from a proverb. It's not from the Bible.
Okay. So what is a proverb?
A proverb can be a saying, like a wisdom saying. So I don't know why cleanliness is next to God. I guess cleanliness is next to godliness. I mean, that's a good thing to encourage.
So when you get to heaven, it's very clean.
Not necessarily.
Whereas hell is a mess.
I don't think that's
gum just thrown around willy-nilly.
I think proverbs like that are meant to teach us things that are important to follow in life.
Okay.
I don't think they necessarily follow outside of that.
It feels like when someone says cleanliness is next to godliness, it's the kind of thing God would go, leave me out of this. You know, I know you want your kid to clean his room, but look, I got other stuff. You just tell him not to kill his neighbor and not to be a jerk, but a messy bed I don't care about. I'm busy keeping the gravity going.
So some say the first appearance is from Francis Bacon.
Okay.
But that the first time this concept was recorded was in ancient Hebrew times. Either way, Christianity doesn't seem to be involved.
It's interesting thinking that ancient Hebrew times, probably kids were still making a mess. And just a real messy, old-timey, you know, kid messing up his room. Like, how clean can you keep it? It's old Hebrew times.
How clean? Yeah, you didn't have.
How clean can you keep your room?
But you wouldn't have that much.
You're even an Egyptian kid. How do you get sand out of your bed? You can't. You're an Egyptian kid.
You wouldn't have that many possessions, so you wouldn't have like a mess on the floor.
Yeah, you're Middle Ages. What are you going to do? It's like mud floor. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You can't do nothing. You're full of plague.
I don't think the floors are made of mud.
I don't know. I'm thinking one of them was. Maybe a nice mud floor. Someone would, nah, probably not.
So they had mud floors.
All right. When did mud floors end?
When did they begin?
Well, at the beginning. Like,
no, I don't think people had mud floors.
Ever?
I think that when people settled.
Folks, mud floors.
No.
Okay.
You're thinking of mud rooms, but those are to get rid of the mud before you come into the house
all
proper.
Right. Okay.
Mud, I think that right from the beginning.
From the very beginning. You're in the caves.
Yeah.
Let's do some hardwood floors in here. And then the next guy goes, you know what would be nice? Bowling. Let's have a nice bowling.
Yes. Wow. Bowling is very early on.
Oh, man, that bugs me that I don't have hardwood floors. Yeah. I live now.
The wheel was not invented for wagons or for any kind of practical use. It was for bowling.
Okay.
That was the first use. It was basically they had to have a use for all the hardwood flooring they were putting down.
All right. That makes sense.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
No, not really.
The floor could be covered with other things besides mud that would make it, like, how about some straw on the floor that could be
bones of your, the bones of your ancestors?
It wouldn't be that hard to put wood down on the floor.
Wouldn't?
It wouldn't be that hard.
And it's easy to get wood? It's easy to get flat wood?
Yes.
You think that's easy? Back in the old-timey days?
If you're making it...
Johnny make an axe, and then you gotta be Johnny smooth a floor?
It could be a wattle floor. It could be like the branches...
You're making up words now. What are you saying? What do you mean a wattle floor?
You know, like branches
interlaced. You're gonna do a tongue and groove? Why couldn't you do that back in the old days when you just got a sharpened rock?
They have the interwoven branches. You know, uh-huh. That's a wattle.
Okay, so you got a wattle floor.
Yeah.
And you keep that clean? Well, a wattle
floor?
I'm
not saying it's immaculate, but it's better than a mud floor.
Mm.
And also, you're living undercover, so why is there mud there?
Let me tell you what I think is a better idea.
You have a hole in your roof?
Well, here's the thing. Yes. Now, say I'm a fella, and I got a mud floor.
You're a fellow who's got a mud floor.
Now, I want to walk on wood. Here's what I think I do. Mm-hmm. Make myself some wood shoes. Think the Dutch have a good idea. I'm always walking on wood.
Is that easier?
To make wood shoes than a full floor? Yes. Carving, I will say yes.
Carving wooden... No.
Yes.
No.
Well, here. Okay. Wood flip-flops, then. Just like strap a piece of wood to your feet.
Here's the thing about wood.
Wear skis indoor.
Wood has a grain, so it's easy to split. So as long as you have a wedge and mm-hmm. something to bang a wedge with, you can make a fairly... I'm not saying it's immaculately flat. I'm not saying it's something that you could like lay on or bowl on, but you could make planks mm-hmm. out of a tree fairly easily.
Sure you could.
Unlike...
Yeah.
With your rock,
right?
The rock you're talking about,
right?
Make sabots or clogs if you'd like.
Okay,
that sounds much harder.
All right, so Dave is saying that in the old timey days, easy peasy, make a hardwood floor.
I didn't say make a hardwood floor because now you're picturing it like in a house nowadays where it's varnished,
just
and
gorgeous.
It's just, yeah, exactly.
Beautiful. Put the Christmas tree up.
The shiny floor.
That's right. All the presents underneath.
With your Swiffer brush, cleaning it up.
That's right. That's how you
just
do
like
it.
Like they did in the Neolithic times.
Yes.
There's Swiffer brushes.
Right. Neolithic times when they invented Neapolitan ice cream.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So
they were the first people to go one flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Why not three?
Yeah.
And then no one did any more flavors than that until Baskin Robbins. In the last century.
Because call me crazy, but...
You're crazy, Dave.
I think that when they invented the house,
mm-hmm.
it was to get away...
When they invented the house.
Well, when they invented like the idea of an abode, like when they invented the idea of, let's go in a shelter.
They invented the idea of going indoors.
Yeah, yeah.
When they said, I don't think that's an invention as much as just, okay, but let's go with it.
Whatever. Someone thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they?
Yeah, Frank Eureka. That was him.
That was the guy.
Yeah. And he went like, how about we get out of the rain? Eureka. That's fantastic. And they went in and they went like, we're dry. Oh, but this floor is so muddy. You know what we should do? Make a perfect hardwood floor.
No, we should do. Stop bringing the water in. Let's not build a house at the bottom of a hill, everybody. Okay. That's a good idea.
We're still not. We haven't learned that lesson yet.
No. Well, we build them at the top of hills as well. And that's not so good either.
Yeah. Yeah. So just middle?
Nowhere near a hill.
No, nowhere near a hill.
But the problem,
just don't build a house, frankly.
See, the problem here is that...
By here, you mean Vancouver.
Vancouver, the Lower Mainland. Like, if you go out away from Vancouver, out into the valley.
Okay.
It's all the mountains that are all covered with houses now. The valley is relatively unhoused because that's where the farmland is, so no one can build there because it's all protected. So all the building, all, you know, they're just taking away all the bear country. And
do you know what?
Houses.
You can live there, but you have to do something, and that's you've got to pretend you're corn. You have to dress up as corn.
Or a cow?
You can have, like, say you got a family, right? And, like, one of you dresses as a pig, one of you dresses as a cow, one of you dresses as some corn, and you can live comfortably there in the farm area.
Yeah, sure. Have you driven out there in, like, the last few years? Have you driven out to, like, Chilliwack or?
I've been to Chilliwack, yeah.
Okay. Have you ever seen, like, the new dairy barns that they build out there?
Mm-mm.
They're weird. Like, they build these big barns, and I guess they build them because the cows basically live indoors all year round now. Because no one lets their cows out to have to pasture.
Right.
Because they kill and wreck the fields. But they have
Well, you know that saying, Dave. Like, you let them out.
Yeah.
You're going to wait till the cows come home.
Yeah.
They don't say that because the cows come back really quick. They just stay out there. So who wants that kind of trouble? Just keep them indoors.
Is that true? Because cows come back pretty easily.
Well, then where's the saying, wait till the cows come home?
I don't think it's wait till the cows come home.
All right, what's the saying?
I mean, that's the saying.
Isn't it? It's the cows
Dad, come home. Dad, can I go to the movies? Wait till the cows come home.
No, that's not the saying. No, it's like, but till the cows come home means...
He did that till the cows came home.
Yeah. That's right, meaning, and that isn't like, oh, lickety-split quick.
Yeah.
That means took a long, long time, because once the cows go out,
yeah.
Once they've seen Perry, they do not come back.
They do not come back. But once you say it's dinner time, they all come back again.
Yeah.
Because there's a...
They realize their dinner, and they're like, oh, Twilight Zone-ish.
I'm going to interrupt my story, but there's a farm in Langley called Berry Farm, and it's divided by Fraser Highway. This highway runs through it. So underneath it is a tunnel, mm-hmm. so the cows can go from field to field.
Oh, nice.
And so at night, it's actually not... It's not in use anymore, the farm, but in the old days, the cows would all come into this sort of funnel, and they'd all funnel into this tunnel, and then spread out again into the other field, and then go to the barn for their dinner.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
In England, they have some bridges, cow bridges.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen those.
Yeah. Interesting. It's fun. You're driving along, and then all of a sudden, are those cows taking that bridge? Yeah, they are. They're
yeah.
neat.
The interesting thing in England is to see how they pile the hay there, because they don't. If they pile the hay, because they don't pile it like they do here. Like
explain.
They make these big loaves. They look like a big bread loaf in the field.
Oh, that's true, yes.
And here, we don't. You never see that. Like, one thing, the hay is put away. But there...
Are we scared of them, of people stealing our hay here?
I don't know.
It sounds like we're paranoid here. And there, they let the cows run free. They leave their hay out. And here, we're like, no, the cows cannot leave the house.
Yeah, and so if you go to these...
Until you're 18 years old, young cow lady.
So these new...
And you're not going out dressed like that.
These new cow barns, they're like... I don't know. It's like a milk museum. There are these fantastic, like, ornate architectural facies to these buildings. Like, I know it's just a barn on the other side. Like, you go in and it's just the milking shed.
Yeah.
And, where the milk machine is and all the connectors and stuff. But the front of it, it's just this fantastic. It looks like you're going into a hotel.
Right.
And I don't know why they do that.
Well, I'll tell you why, Dave.
Oh, now you're making it up.
What? Am I just saying that? Do you think that was making it up?
Just saying that.
When have I ever made stuff up on this show? Oh. Everything I've said has been a complete...
Okay.
Dave.
Yeah, 180. Everything you said has been a complete 180.
A complete 360.
Let's not wait till the cows come home. What are you going to say?
I was going to say... Mm-hmm. Now, you're saying these things... now, here's what you got to know is that farming, once we get these 3D printers going,
yes,
is a dead industry.
Why?
Because they're just going to have genetic material, and you're going to print a steak, and you're not going to print a glass of milk.
Okay.
You're not going to need a whole farm anymore, and they know this. The farmers are hep to this,
what?
Dave.
Well, okay. Well,
you would. You print a steak.
Yeah. Okay.
And there you go. They print your whole meal. So, so what they know is
what kind of organic material is making the steak?
It'd be DNA from cows. They'd use some cow DNA. And they'd clone it, and it would just spurt out, and it would come out cooked.
That sounds really appetizing. But go on.
Well, like a slaughterhouse is appetizing. So the they got the barns there, right? Like mm-hmm. I say. But what's going to happen is they're going to go out of business soon enough. They know this.
Yeah.
They don't want to have to tear them down. They're going to become sex clubs.
They're going to become sex clubs?
Right. So they have to make them sexy mm-hmm. looking.
Sure.
And so they're just going to leave that there. And then the other thing they do, they leave the milking machines. I don't want to say for what, but they just leave those in there.
Yeah.
The whole thing takes care of itself.
Yeah.
Pays for itself in, a week.
Can I guess what the milk machines are for?
Sure.
Ladies' breasts?
No. That might be a secondary use, but no. No, I think you're a little off. Yeah. Again, to our new listeners, I apologize.
For what?
Everything. Everything so far. And everything that is to come.
Is that... You're feeling very apologetic.
And we have a lot of new European listeners, and they're much more nuanced. than our North American hicks. That's right. I'm saying everyone from North America who's listening to this show, you're a straw-chewing hick. Wow. We're trying to get the classy Europeans right now.
Well, we are going. That's all we're going to get.
Yeah, we are. It's a shame. I mean, you know what? We're so far gone with the way we've gone.
Yes.
We're starting to attract Australians.
Wow.
We've got Australians listening to our show.
Wow.
And we didn't want that.
We did not.
Right?
For that.
Right? That's a warning sign, isn't it? Isn't it? So that's what we got to do. Anyway, back to our thing. What about the milking machines on the ladies' breasts? I think.
What do you mean? What about
a special Christmas episode? What was it? What were you saying about that?
What about it?
What about it?
You brought it up.
No, I did not bring that up. Nope. I brought up a classy cattle barn sex club.
With milking
and you
machines.
Had to take it to a weird place.
Okay.
I was keeping it classy and European. Yes. The kind of thing that if you went to Amsterdam.
Sure.
You'd be able to go in and smoke your hash cigarette and enjoy your old cow pump, and no one would judge you.
That's right.
And if something went wrong, well, enjoy your universal health care. It'll take care of any injuries.
You're smoking your hash with your hookah.
Yep.
And enjoying the hookup.
Sure.
That's the way it goes. That's what they call it.
Again, I apologize to everybody.
For what?
Anyway, I hope we all have a merry.
So
Christmas.
One club is called the Dairy Barn.
Mm-hmm.
One's called the Milk Shed.
Yeah.
What else?
One's called the Utter One.
One's called the Homo?
No, it's called the Utter One. That's the classy way. Why are you doing this?
The 1%?
You are just kamikazing this one. You're just driving it straight to the sea.
The 1%. That's for the elite.
That's absolutely
that's
right.
For the elite.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, Lord. Hi, everybody. As Dave mentioned earlier, I've got a vitamin D deficiency. I found out. My wife went to the dentist today. We thought she was going to have, she had a cavity. She was informed by the dentist, no, it was a little bit of an infection. Why was that? Vitamin D deficiency. And
why?
And was told because she then mentioned, oh, yeah, we were just in Portugal a little while ago. And then they asked, oh, was it super sunny? And it was like, yes, it was. Well, here's what happens. You go to someplace that's super sunny in the winter.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden your white blood cells go, well, you don't need us anymore. Bye. And they split. And then you come back to darkness, which is the Canada lifestyle, and you're screwed. And so in her case, she got a little bit of a dental infection, taking care of it with a little Sensodyne, a little vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I've been sleeping about 16 hours a day.
That's one way to take care of it?
Yeah. Well, it's...
I believe that's not taking care of it.
Oh, it's just... Yeah. But now I'm on the supplements as well. And yeah, it's been crazy. It's been crazy. It's just like I go for 6 hours, then all of a sudden... And boom. And then intense dreams, like crazy intense. Let's deal with every issue in your head dreams. And then like, you know, wake up. What? Yeah. But back out again. More issues. What? That's okay. All right. Well, I should deal with some of this stuff. Nope. Time to sleep again.
So you can remember your dreams?
A little bit. Yeah. I can when my wife goes, what were you thrashing about? And I go, oh, it's this thing about my dad. Oh, okay. And then she mentions in the morning. And I go, oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Hmm.
Ugh. I'm not going to talk about my dreams because that's incredibly boring.
It is, isn't it?
Yep.
It is. Some people like to tell you their dreams.
By the way, to anyone out there who enjoys, like Dave and I are fairly straight edge when it comes to drugs, but we are not going to judge druggies, maybe drug users.
Will a little bit.
But when someone tells me about their experiences on mushrooms or acid,
yeah.
Imagine someone telling you about their dreams, but less interesting.
I went through that through my graphics design class in high school. The fellow we shared a table with, he would tell us endless stories of his mushroom trips.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not interesting.
Nope.
Because they don't make any sense.
Nope.
And there's no payoff.
And you can't feel the emotions.
And you can't feel, yeah, that's right. There's no fear or anything for you. You just listen to this guy talk about it. And he looked like the devil. You're like, wow.
Yeah.
Good for you. Had some fun, I guess.
It'd be interesting. And I'm not 100% anti-hippie. But I think here's what they used to do in our school. They would have a guy come in and go, and this is literally what he said. He came into our school, North Delta School, and I'm like, you might hear from your Paul McCartneys that pot's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's leading you down a road. And it was like saying it leading you down a wrong road. But the guy had like a crew cut and he had the tie. And it's like, first of all, at that point, we weren't caring about the Paul McCartneys as much. You know, oh, you missed the mark with that reference. But then also, what? And also, no, what you need is you need to have a hippie come and sit in front of the kids. And for an hour, the kids have to listen to his stories about the great times he had on grass and acid and mushrooms. And he'll tell the stories and all the kids will just roll their eyes and go, shut up. Like, no, I say you kids should all give this a try. Yeah. No, we don't want to. Ugh, and leave. And they'll be like just buying ties and suits on the way out and just like, ugh, crew cut, please.
There's a Frank Zappa album. And I can't remember what it's called now, which is dumb of me. But in it, he has these people. He's recorded them talking. They're a couple like stoned hippies that he's recorded talking. And he intersperses their conversation with bits of music. And it's deadly dull. So, I mean, the music's good. In fact, when I was younger, I went through and I just edited out all the talking. I like made a tape of just the musical parts and just left out all the conversation.
Yeah.
Just so I could hear the musical cues and let's leave out this really boring hippie conversation of, wow, it's really dark in here. Ooh, wow. I'd like to talk to the stars.
Let me expand this things that sound like they'd be more interesting than they are. Your drug experiences sound like they'd be more interesting than they are.
Yeah.
Also, let me just say this much, and I'm not saying this to any specific friends I've got.
Your travel photos? Am I right? Going to your friend's house, they bring out the slide projector?
Oh, I feel a little bad. I put some of my stuff online.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to say this is specifically certain friends of mine, but if it's appropriate for you, maybe take a note.
Okay.
Your sexual activities from the past or the present.
Okay. I can take a hint.
Telling me these stories.
I have one story. That's the problem.
And I thought it was from the Bible. Right. As it turns out, it was a proverb. But yeah, they'll tell you like, and this happened, and then this, and this, and this, and that. And like, I'm not there. I'm not feeling it. I'm not enjoying it. I can't. Like,
I have never had anyone tell me that.
Oh, too much. Too much. And I think.
You have to be a certain age for that, right? Are we past that age?
I wish I was past that age. I understand why people are doing it. It's a quick way to earn a little bit of respect. It sounds
is
like
it?
I think so. Oh, I think there's a little bit of like, listen,
you're doing
I have this interesting.
Good for you.
Well, it's like it's interesting, right? Like you think it makes them interesting, and that's fine. You know, listen, it's interesting when you do it. It's not interesting when you tell me about it afterwards. No. It's the
you know what? It's really interesting when you do it.
Yeah, it's very interesting when you do it.
No, it's not very. It's really interesting.
Well, I think those words are synonyms.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think they are?
I think really sums it up better than very.
Okay, but they're still synonyms. I'll get the thesaurus right now, and we can have it out. Okay. By the way, Dave, is there another word for thesaurus?
Synonymizer?
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be funny if you actually had a book that was like a thesaurus and you called it the cinnamonizer. And it was like, what is that? It's like a thesaurus.
And the other friend had a cinnamon eater.
Oh, with a nice cream cheese on top. Have that in the morning.
Very good. It's good
boy,
for you.
You get that at the mall. Mm-hmm. You don't feel good afterwards, though, after you have that. If that sits like a rock. Here's the thing about...
I think you're getting mixed up with Cinnabon.
I think I am.
Okay.
You know that Pillsbury now has Cinnabons that you can just like make yourself?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a power you should have. You shouldn't be able to bring that shit into your house. That's not right.
Pillsbury, yeah, we make those all the time at home, actually.
Oh, I mean, that's a great idea. No, it just seems like that's something that's a power that should remain outside the home.
Why? People used to make them at home.
They didn't make Cinnabons. They made cinnamon buns.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we just make cinnamon buns. Because what's the difference between them? Size?
All right. After you eat a cinnamon bun, you go like, oh, that was nice. After you eat a Cinnabon, you feel like this. Oh, God. Oh, God. What did I do? Oh, Jesus. And the next day, I'll have another Cinnabon, please. Then you eat that one. Oh, why didn't I remember this feeling? I got to write a note to myself. Next day, Cinnabon, please. Oh, God. It's just like a Big Mac. It's like a Big Mac. You just don't feel good afterwards.
Wow. So we'll add that to stories that aren't as interesting as you think they'd be, eating cinnamon buns.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's similar to me, the Cinnabon situation, that if you go to the store now, you can get the McDonald's coffee.
Mm.
Well, okay, you don't realize, okay, why do we get McDonald's coffee? Because it's convenient, because it's cheap,
yeah,
because it's there.
Very cheap, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it practically free?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. They will throw it at you,
just give it to
as
you
drive by. They'll just toss there's it.
There's a constant pot pouring out the window as you drive
by.
Yeah,
that's right, which is weird, because you think that would be a lawsuit waiting to happen.
For sure.
But like,
they have a caution, it's hot, very hot sign.
That's right.
Or really hot, actually. Which is hotter than very, as you know.
I don't agree with this at all. But they now have it for sale in a store, and it's like, well, no, if I'm in a store, I can get good coffee.
Yeah.
Or even shitty coffee that's better than McDonald's coffee, but you can now buy McDonald's coffee. Like, if you start bringing McDonald's food to supermarkets,
yeah,
well, now the world is over. Then there's no point in this. If I can make a Big Mac at home, no. It's just no. McDonald's, you stay where you are. Cinnabon, you stay where you are. Everyone, just stay where they are. I shouldn't be able to make an Orange Julius at home. Just stay where you are.
Yeah,
everybody,
that seems wrong. Can you make Orange Julius at home?
Yeah, you can, kind of. Yeah, they don't call them that. They call them like Orange Frost or something, okay. But it's the same stuff.
Orange Augustus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why did Orange Julius have the devil as their mascot? Do you get that?
I never noticed that. Is there a devil as the mascot?
It used to be. The mascot for Orange Julius used to be like a devil, like a devil face. And I went like, is the devil known as Julius?
Yeah.
In some way? Like the only Julius
sure
I know
is...
Yes, it was. I know this for certain. As a scared little Catholic boy, I wasn't sure whether I should drink Orange Julius because it had the devil on it.
Or run away.
Or run... What?
You know what? Because the devil's orange. That's what it's about.
Okay. That's good. What about the running away? What?
You didn't know whether to drink it or to run away from
it.
Oh,
I see. Very good. I thought like you meant that I was going to become a runaway instead.
So, yes, that's right. With a bindle stick on your back.
That's right.
Walking out... Hitting the road.
Yeah.
No more Orange Julius for me.
I was such a scared little Catholic kid. I didn't want to eat that Underwood deviled ham.
Oh.
Because I just went, well, it's got the devil on it. What are you thinking?
I thought it was a typewriter.
To me, it would be like if you had a ham with like Hitler giving the thumbs up on it. It's just like, well, the devil's the worst thing there is, right? Yeah. Like the devil wants to take your soul and have you burn for eternity. And here's his favorite ham. Like, well, why would I get that ham? You know?
Yeah. That was the can. That was that can ham that came in a little can with a key on it. The Spittler.
Is that the Spittler ham?
You remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
That came with a little key and you had to unwind the can. And the key would always break partway through, and you had to try and...
And you went, Hitler! Some people say that's why he lost World War II. People got frustrated with his ham.
With his inefficient ham container.
He conquered Poland. He was working his way through Europe, and it's just like, screw this ham.
That was a popular proverb of the time. They could put Germans in Poland, but they can make a can you can open. That was the... Yeah.
So what was the saying before a man landed on the moon?
I just said it.
Was that what it was?
That was the expression. Very popular at the time.
Very good. Okay. Yeah.
All over the world, they said that.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Dave, do you want to do your little thing right now?
Sure. Well, let's start. I've got an opening for it.
Okay. So, by the way, everybody, what we're talking about, we're trying to do a reoccurring segment because people like reoccurring segments.
Yeah, they do. They love it.
And we thought, you know.
If you do it long enough.
4 years in, this is when we should start. Why mess with not success?
That's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Why mess with failure?
Right. Okay.
All
right.
So I've got an opening for it. So let's pretend that we'll play the opening.
Okay.
And then we'll come in. I'll start it.
All right. Here comes the opening, everybody.
Ian, tell me I'm wrong.
Dave, you're wrong.
Wrong. Ian,
Dave, tell me you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Dave.
Ian,
you're wrong.
Wrong. Ian.
Dave, you're wrong.
You are so wrong.
Wrong! Dave.
Wrong, Ian, tell me I'm wrong.
Wrong. Dave? Wrong, Dave, you're wrong.
Ian.
Wrong.
Wrong. You're wrong.
What time is it, Dave? Wrong o'clock.
Ian, tell me I'm wrong, but we should keep doing this segment.
You're wrong, Dave.
Okay, let's move on then. Actually, we had a message from a listener.
What happened? I was supposed to do one. What just happened? What happened, everybody? Okay, what's our message from the listener?
We had a listener, right? Cameron Berry wrote to us.
Sounds like a fake name.
Could be.
It sounds like a sitcom name from the 80s.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's the name of a guy that's dating the female lead in the sitcom.
Family Ties?
Yeah, like a Family Ties. She would date Cameron Berry.
Okay.
Yeah. And then what's his secret? Maybe he's a smoker.
Oh, and they don't know.
Yeah, he's like a real...
Does
like,
she know or the family doesn't know?
Well, here's what's going to happen.
Michael J. Fox walks outside and sees him smoking by the back gate.
Okay, but here's... Let me tell you the rest of the plot.
Yeah.
Then the two of them are sitting on the couch and they've made out. And then he pulls
They're
out...
They're canoodling?
A, yeah. And then he pulls out a cigarette, right?
Oh.
And then she's like, I don't know. I don't want to smoke. Okay, square. I'm going to just smoke. And then dad walks in and he shoves the cigarette into the couch. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's what happens. Then he gets up and like, hello, sir. And da, 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 da. Well, I should be going. I was like, yes, you should. Okay. Goodbye. And he leaves. Right.
Yeah.
And then she said, well, shouldn't you be going to bed? I will. And then he goes, oh, dad goes to bed. Well, then the couch starts smoking and
the couch is smoking now.
Well, yeah, because it's smoldering because
we're
it's
learning that every, like once you start once guy smoking,
and then the audience says this, the audience says this, ooh, right. Okay. Go to black, go to black, go to commercial, run your commercial for your Burger King.
Yeah.
Run your commercial, for your Dodge, run your commercial for, Woodsy the Owl says, don't litter. We're back.
We're back.
And it's on.
The house is ablaze.
Well, not yet. Because
burn to the ground. Everyone's dead.
No, because we need whoever the funny character is. Like, if they got a maid, if they've got an uncle, like, whoever is coming in and he's going to.
Hilarious. Neighbor next door.
Well, this is a person who's going to use the washroom.
Who wears multicolored suspenders.
Person going to use the washroom.
Well, that's what he does. He just comes from next door and he uses their washroom.
Sure, sure. There we go. That's so he's wandering in and he's got a newspaper under his arm, so we know he's going to be pooping. Funny. So he walks in and then he's
maybe he pees on the newspaper.
Well, maybe. So he's sneaking by.
He's
and
a
then
cat.
He, and then
who
he
lives
next
door.
That's right. And he notices the fire. And he yells fire, fire.
Yeah.
And they put it out in time, but a chunk of the set is burned.
Yeah.
But they blame the neighbor or whoever the funny guy is.
Yeah.
And the girl, she knows it's the boyfriend.
Yeah.
But she's gonna get in trouble because she's dating a smoker.
Sure. Yeah.
So, but she eventually confesses.
Yeah.
And then we never see that Cameron Barry character again.
No.
By the way, the set is repaired by the next week perfectly with the same couch.
Well, that's they had insurance.
Absolutely. Anyway, what's Cameron Barry saying? That damn smoker burning down that house.
Yes. Now that we know all about him, should I read the whole letter or he asked us some questions? But
I don't know. I told that whole story. I feel bad editing anyone else after I did that nonsense.
Okay. He says, I wanted to send you a quick message to thank you for keeping me awake and happy at my job. You're welcome, Cameron.
Okay. What is his job?
You know what? I creeped his Facebook page and he works on a CNC machine.
Really? Like CNC Music Factory?
He works at CNC Music Factory. I was surprised. And he's so sick of the music that he'd rather listen to us.
Okay.
That's...
Is that... We got the power? Am I thinking the right one? What does CNC Music Factory do?
You've Got Me There.
They do a song called You've Got Me There? That's a good song.
That's not a bad song.
That's a good title
You've
for a song.
Got me there.
Yeah. Now take me back or I'll call the cops. You took me to the second location. Gave me an invitation. Now I got reservations. Take me back home. Seriously.
He has reservations. He has to get to at a restaurant.
Sure.
The song's what?
All right. So what we were...
He says, I heard of your podcast after listening to the follow-ups episode of Caustic Soda where Ian was joking about horrible stuff. And I thought to myself, these guys seem to have the same mess up humor.
Well, wait a
I'm
second.
Accustomed to.
Now you... Okay. I did do a follow-up
episode. You did a long time ago.
A long time ago.
But people are still listening to it.
Well,
we had
but,
two
but
different
then
listeners
you did,
come to the show.
But then you did a follow-ups episode recently. So does he think you're me?
Well, we're very similar.
We are. Well, people don't know we're clones.
We act alike. We look alike.
We even don't smoke alike. We don't drink alike. We don't do much.
We don't do very much. Two puritanical prudes on the loose. We should do a movie about
ladies,
that.
Let out your daughters. They'll be totally safe with these nerds.
We'll do our movie Down on the Town. We're down on this blaze. So, and after listening to every episode of their podcast twice.
What, Caustic Soda?
Yeah.
He's listened to them twice?
Twice, yeah.
Wow.
It's a hard,
strong
it's a,
stomach.
It's a hard life at the CNC Music Factory.
Wow.
I thought I'd give yours a try. Thanks. He says, I love your mindless banter.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little backhand in that compliment.
It's a little, it's very mindful.
But by the way, after this episode, like I can say, of course. You know what? You're correct. Completely correct.
Our most antic episode ever. Because we eat those wine gums.
Yeah, that's true. We are high on wine gums.
We overdid it. I've listened to quite a few of your episodes so far, and you both managed to make me laugh at least once during each one.
Okay.
Some I laughed.
That's what we aim for. The one laugh an hour.
One time.
Yeah.
Well, if I can get that one laugh, I'm so pleased. Even if it's just me. Because someone has to laugh at my jokes. Mm-hmm. Some I laughed tears, which is pretty great.
Laughing tears.
Yeah, people that laughing till they cry.
Oh, that's better. That's but fine. If you actually laugh tears.
Out of your mouth?
Yeah, that sounds
that's
wrong.
That's called drooling.
Maybe it's drooling and maybe something is really wrong with you biologically. If you've got tears actually coming out of your mouth,
duct, yeah.
It means your tear ducts have ruptured internally, have leaked down your nose, down through your throat, have come through your mouth, and you're spitting out, which I'm sure the caustic soda guys would know the name of.
Yeah.
That thing.
Salty deliciousness. I'll be spending the next year at my job catching up on the past episodes.
Oh, we got bad news for him.
What's
he's
that?
Fired.
He's fired. You're firing him.
Yep.
All while raising my eyebrow at David's obscure old school references. Well, like my Underwood reference today. Was that one?
Mm-hmm.
Underwood typewriters? Everybody? You remember those, right? Your subscriber, Cameron. P.S. I have topics and questions I would love for you two to talk about if you get the chance.
All right, let's do them. Let's just
this
burn through
this is your
them.
Chance.
Let's
this
go for it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so we're going to burn through them.
Let's
all right.
Do them.
The first one is a little... That's a bit. It's a hard one, I think.
Nope.
It is...
Easy. Let's go.
It
boom.
Is,
watch me answer it quickly.
Are you ready? It is modern photography.
Yep. Modern photography?
Yeah.
Now,
what do you think of modern photography?
Well, what counts as modern photography? People taking photos with their phones seems to be the most modern photography.
I would
like,
say...
Are you talking like the artistic
I
modern
think
he, move?
I think he's thinking artistic because... Cameron, I just want to compliment you because I was seriously creeping your page. I went to your page.
Okay.
Because I like to do that. When people like the show, I like to go and see who they are and where they live and... And if we know them, because it's always disappointing if we
sorry,
know them.
Sorry, it sounds like you're saying you want to know where they live, so you actually go
yeah,
with your
go
car,
there.
Drive to where they live.
Yeah. No, I just want to know like who they are and what they do, and mostly I want to know if we know them. Because it's always disappointing if someone likes the show and you're like, oh, someone liked the show, and then you go, oh, they know us. So they just felt obligated to pretend to like the show.
Oh, I think that's double good. You know, I'm surprised that people who know us would then spend their time doing this is like because they could actually just spend time with us.
Yeah,
you know, true. To actually spend time listening to this nonsense.
It's true.
Good for you.
So I went to his Facebook page and he has his own photography studio, like his own.
Oh, he's a photographer.
Yeah, and so he does his own photography. And, sorry,
oh, okay.
Cameron, I cannot remember the name of it. I will look it up in a minute. But he had an interesting study on mental illness, and he took photographs that were kind of symbolic of different. Forms of mental illness. It was quite interesting. So there's like, you know, depression, like different types of depression, and he had these sort of photo montages and things that were quite interesting.
Oh, cool.
And so I think modern photography now has, it's interesting because you can have like straight ahead photography that uses very little trickery. And then you've got this whole kind of vast repertoire of Photoshop that
right.
allows for all kinds of interesting effects in modern photography. What's curious, I think, about modern photography, well, there's actually kind of a controversy right now because there's this Australian photographer who claims to have sold a photograph for around $4 million. I think it was around that much, or maybe way more than that, $40
right,
million. Dollars. Some huge amount.
Well, it's Australian, so they're didgeridollars.
Didgeridollars. No, but this is sold to some collector around in the world.
Like, oh, is this
it's
like
actual?
It's
real money. Yeah.
Oh, it's real money.
Yeah.
It's not just Australian.
It's not Australian money.
It's not just Aussie bucks.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not great.
Because I know when you were a kid and you had like a puffin book and you looked in the back and it gave you the prices
yeah.
in various places, and like England was 65p and Canada
England would
was,
be like $3.
That's right, England would be $3. Canada would be like $1.65 and then Australia would be like $25.
Yep.
You'd be like, what kind of money do they have there? It's a weird exchange. It's interesting. So, because like I think it's weird. Like I do, I like Cindy Sherman. Do you know Cindy Sherman, the photographer? She does these interesting, she'll do these tableaus of her, like say as sort of a film noir murder victim or something. And it's kind of fun and interesting. But hers sell for an incredible money, like $3 million for a photograph.
Yep.
I'm thinking like, I can understand a painting because it's a one-off. You can't ever get that painting again. You know, there's only one Van Gogh sunflower or of that time.
Yeah.
I know you did studies, but there's only that one painting that looks that way. You know, but Cindy Sherman's photograph has a negative that can produce an infinite amount of that picture. So unless you're getting like the picture and then the negative is stuck in the back of it in the frame, then you're like, oh, this is it. One off, you know, no one can reproduce this.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the value there, but it just seems a weird thing to collect.
So this person who did the $4 million one, what was the controversy?
The controversy was, well, it's actually way more than that. And I think someone was writing in...
it's gone up since you've just discussed it?
I was...
A minute ago?
I'm vague on if it had a...
You were lying.
I was vague
you
if it
were
had a
lying.
Zero after it.
You were lying.
Okay, I was lying.
All right.
And there's a controversy.
Lying
some,
to make yourself look like a big shot.
Some opinionated person in England was writing in The Guardian that there is that like photography isn't art. And then someone else is writing and saying, no, photography is art.
Yeah. Photography can be art.
Exactly.
Or it's an art form.
But this guy's point is that everyone in the world has access to Photoshop. and thus can reproduce any photo, you know, can do all the photographic tricks that anyone else could
do. Well, anyone has access to paint.
Exactly. It's a ridiculous argument.
It's what you can do with it. Everyone has access to video cameras, but not everyone is Scorsese.
I agree with you. And I mean, no one
for the best,
or has the eye.
Yeah.
One of my favorite photographs, and I wish I could remember who took it. It's a picture that this lady took outside of her apartment. It was in New York, and there was a this is 1980, and it was a parade for the returning hostages from Iran. And it was just people preparing for the parade. And so they have like streamers and stuff like that, and they're all kind of furling around them. And so this really interesting design of people from above with all these streamers kind of streaming around them in this interesting pattern. And it's a really fascinating picture. And it's just this kind of caught moment. And I love that. That's my favorite kind of photography. I mean, I really admire, like, you know, I have a collection of Richard Avedon's, like pictures of the modern West, you know, of these sort of people, these sort of rugged characters,
yeah,
with that Avedon picture, you know, that very high contrast black and white. And that's interesting too, but I really enjoy that kind of caught, that moment, just seeing that moment and then snapping it. Because that's much harder to do than go into a studio and prepare and turn on your fan and get the person's hair blowing the right way.
Right.
And you know, and then have them jump in the air and then take a picture. You know what I mean? Like,
there's something to that as well, but yes.
There is something to that as well. But I just think it's even more interesting that someone can grab their camera at that moment and not just snap a picture, but snap a really well framed picture and get the f-stop right, you know, the exposure right and everything else, and just have like this picture.
Do you think it's even harder with photography too? Because see, like when you're painting a painting, you're going to have a learning curve and you're going to be obviously bad for a while.
Yeah.
Obviously bad. But with photography, you could get the right filter and like, oh, that looks okay.
Yeah.
Like it'd be like if the first time you painted it and things looked exactly like they should.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't, you know, didn't have the heart, the soul, wasn't great. It was just, but it was like, it was good enough. Like the horse looks like a horse exactly and whatever. But that's the thing with photography is like, it looks right, but so what makes it great?
Well, I think partly composition.
Yeah.
But also how the after effects. So, you know, part of what made photographers, like black and white photographers, interesting in what they were doing was how their exposures in the dark room. So how they were, you know, what they were showing in the picture, like how much darkness was, because, you know, you can have a photograph and it can have an incredible amount of information in it, or you can make it darker and take away a lot of information.
Yeah.
So that's a choice you can make while you're developing it. Nowadays, you don't need to do that in a dark room. You can do that in Photoshop. You can still make those choices though, and to change the exposure, you know, and change the levels and do adjustments to make it what you want, but it's the same as you would, same effects you could have got in a dark room.
It's now this is a weird example, but I was watching a bit of MasterChef Junior. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with this show at all?
No, I'm not.
It's a cooking show, and this one was for kids, right?
Okay.
And so they had
the junior,
right? And so they one kid won a challenge, and so here's what they got.
Yeah.
They for the next challenge, they were going to be cooking fish.
Yeah.
And you got four fridges, and there was four kids, and you had to assign to each kid which fridge, and in one fridge there was five ingredients,
okay,
and one was 25, and one was 50, and one was 100. And so, you know, the kid got to assign who got what, and you would think like, well, you'd want the most options, but they smartly went, no, I'm just going to take the 25 ingredients. And then they gave, and the kid that won, which was no surprise, was the one who got the five ingredients because he was able to concentrate and whatever. And I think because the one who got 100 is just like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know, you're crippled by choice. And I think that's a problem with Photoshop is you're crippled by choice. You can do so much now. That what are you gonna do?
No, I would agree. I would agree with that. That the technology surrounding, like even with a digital camera that you are walking around with in your pocket.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of,
here's infinite filters. Yeah. Here's intimate focus. Here's intimate everything. Yeah.
And
absolutely,
it's the ability to know. But I would say it's the same.
Which is why eventually you end up just taking a picture of your dick, because you know,
because you're going on Ashley Madison.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know what? It's not cheating. It's just, no, it is cheating, you jerks.
It's not cheating, it's exploring.
But then again, we're a couple of real prudes.
But I'm on there as Cougar Hunter, 681, everybody, if you want to look me up.
And I'm Pussy Galore.
He wishes. I'm just trying to...
Find the next question for
me? No, I'm not looking for the next question. I was trying to find... Let's just talk about that a bit more, because even if you look at art, you know, like... when you look at what people do with a lot of Photoshop now is like comics coloring, for instance. Mm-hmm. You can see where too much choice has led to this real clutter of effects and color, and it just ends up with this muddy soup that's not that interesting to look at.
Well, in comics, there was a... And not all of them are like this, but, you know, Vertigo Comics from DC really ran the gamut for a while from beige to brown.
Yes, yeah.
There was a little bit of something there, it felt like, where, you know, if we use any primary colors, we're looking too comic booky, and we're not that. We're classier than that. And so they substituted... They kind of confused mature with drab.
Yeah.
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 And I think a lot of other comic companies followed suit and followed that lead. And that's being broken free of now, which is good. But yeah.
So the reason I was pausing there is I wanted to look up Cameron's photography studio, which is called Small Gold Photography.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So you've been spending a page on Facebook. Small, so,
okay. Yeah. You've been spending a lot of time on your phone. I feel like I'm doing this podcast with a teenage girl. I feel like you're texting another podcast while we're doing this.
I am. I'm cheating on you.
Madison style.
Ashley Madison style. Just look for me, Cougar Lover 681, everybody.
I wonder if they still have infomercials. They used to have their infomercials late at night. Do they?
Oh, I don't know. But they used to have ads like during primetime television.
Yeah.
That's where I first heard about it. I was like, that's weird. What happened to Dolly Madison? So his next question was, what are you two like while under the influence of alcohol?
Oh, okay. Well, you have not been under the influence of alcohol.
Cameron has just started listening to the show, so he doesn't know that I have never been drunk, nor have I ever been stoned in my entire life. I somehow avoided that, whatever. Maybe because I listened to that guy talk about his mushroom trips in grade 11 graphic arts, graphic design class. But you know what that did? It brought me and the girl I shared the table with, we brought us very close together, because our mockery of him made us a little team.
That's nice.
He was on the outside.
Nice.
Like this little mushroom-influenced devil.
Okay. Now, what am I like?
What do you like drunk, Ian?
I am charming as hell. I'm pretty charming, actually.
I just want to... Okay.
Have you seen me drunk?
I don't know. I don't think I ever have seen you drunk.
No, I wouldn't be drunk around
you. I've seen you drink.
No,
you have like maybe one drink.
That's right.
You usually have like one drink.
Yes.
And I prudishly look disapprovingly at you.
Yeah. You tisk and you tisk.
I tisk and I tisk.
And say, this can only lead to dancing.
Foot loose. I tisk and I tusk. Which is kind of a walrus thing that I do sometimes.
I don't drink often. When I'm at a convention or I'm out of town, then sometimes I will.
You'll let loose?
Yeah. Here's
away from Dave.
Here's a bit of advice that I got once from my wife, who got this advice from another fella who's a comic book professional. He said, like, when you're at a bar, you don't necessarily have to drink.
No.
But hold a drink.
Sure.
So if you hold a drink, no one will ask, do you want a drink?
Yeah.
You've dealt with that. And you look like you belong.
Well, that's what I do. I get a drink, I throw the straw away, and then I carry that drink.
The straw just makes
it terrible.
Loser.
And it's just this weird way.
It's a foghorn.
Oh, you like a soft drink. Maybe you'd like a straw with that. No, I actually like to sip my drinks. I don't like a straw. I don't like straws, as you know. So,
you say straws are for suckers.
Now, see, straws are for suckers. Exactly. If I could extrapolate from my...
Please, children, listen to this. They shouldn't. It's an explicit podcast.
Yeah, really. It is.
And also extrapolate. What's that? Let me get my thesaurus out and see what that
is. To extrapolate is to take the facts and then draw a conclusion from those.
Oh, lie.
So
more lies.
More of a lie, yeah.
Okay.
But judging from how my own, like, I would my dad and my uncles and stuff like that, how they are drunk.
Right.
I would say that I would probably be a mean drunk. So I have no interest in that sort of, I don't want to be a mean person, so.
Okay.
That's another way to avoid it.
I wonder why. Yeah, I mean, certain people do get mean.
Some people get aggressive.
Yeah.
They lose their temper and stuff like that. And that's, like, I noticed with my relatives that there was a certain level of bonhomie, of fun and festivity.
Right.
And then there was another next level that would be reached, which was angry.
Because
you didn't play football. And I did not like that.
I didn't really drink when I was in my angry phase. I don't think I'm as angry anymore. It's weird. Something happened.
But I mean, alcohol can take away, you know, it can remove.
I think it makes you more of what you are, for the most part.
Well, I don't know if it makes you more of what you are, but I think it removes control. And so if you do have like an angry part of yourself and you keep that controlled, and someone takes away that control from you,
I can see that in theory. I don't find that with myself. I feel like it just makes things a little softer and looser and makes the boundaries a bit looser.
But you see, you you get all your anger issues out by getting angry at me on this show. Sniff.
I'm in no way angry at you. I watched recently an old video of myself, and I could just tell, ooh, that guy's got a lot of issues.
Oh, really?
Like, I just hear, like, first, my voice sounds ridiculous. I'm like,
can you do an imitation of it?
I just talk. I just go up a lot. Like, I just, hey, what's going on? Hey, everybody. I sound like that, and I'm like, I'm in my 20s.
So you feel
I went through puberty 10 solid years before.
So you think that was a bit
this should have been my voice then.
Was that a bit of an act?
I don't know.
Do you think you're putting on an act?
I don't know if it was, but it sounds like what I'm always talking like. It's weird. I sound weird, and I can tell that I'm angry, and I remember myself then, and I was angry.
Well, that's when you were a helium addict at the time.
Yeah, that's true. I did like ballooning.
You did like to balloon.
As they called it, up, up, and away. I was a real HR puffin' stuff, as they say.
The stories you tell, how boring.
But no, I mean, I'm usually, I very seldom am drinking in an environment with people I dislike. Like, I'm usually with people I like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the circumstances are not there for me to be angry.
I don't think it matters.
It doesn't matter? Well, it does to me.
The situation matters. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
you're not an angry drunk.
The first time I ever got drunk, there was a semi-famous Canadian hockey player, and I knew his wife, and she was going to college, and I think she was trying to spite him, and so she was, like, buying drinks for all of us, and I was like, well, it's free, so I drank all the girly drinks that you could drink.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah. That's fine.
Choked on an umbrella.
Yeah. I mean, there's some times where I won a lot of wine recently, and so occasionally we would drink wine at home.
Yeah.
And I don't quite remember the movie Super 8, but I remember I had a good time watching it because I enjoyed the wine. So, yeah, there was that.
I saw it in a state of coherence. It was also good.
Oh, good. It's good sober. It's good not.
It's good not. If you had to choose from any major psychological disorder, which would you choose? You have to have it.
That you have to have a... Do you have to have it permanently?
Doesn't say that. But I would, assume that
it'd be nice to have like an OCD just for a day where you have to organize your stuff and then get rid of it.
I don't think
then
it would.
Get rid of it.
I don't think it would.
Really? Like a real...
I think it would slow you down.
You'd want to be like really manic for just like a...
manic would be okay.
Like where you want to like for a day where you have to move and then like done. Then it'd drop it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But manic tends to have its opposite is right. Like it has the two sides. So you
that's
have to,
true.
I've got two sides.
I got
in a
little
day.
Bit of manic in me. Like, okay.
We never noticed.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit OCD. I'm a little bit manic. I'm trying to think of like a disorder that you would want. Why would you want a disease? Like, why would you want a?
If you could have cancer.
Yeah. Where should I punch you? Where would you like to be punched?
That's
right. You know what? I guess.
But if you had to have one.
Yeah.
If you had to have one, which would you choose?
I'd go with attention deficit disorder because I know enough comedians that have it and are fine.
Okay.
And so I could still do
it's treatable.
Yeah. I could still do things that I want to do for the most part. So I'll take that bullet.
Yeah.
And also I know enough people that have it that I could get advice from them as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go with that.
Okay.
Okay. What are you going to take?
Well, like you say, it's like
pyromania.
I don't think that's a mental illness.
Really? So you think it's okay to be a pyromaniac?
No, but it's like that's sort of fetishism. I mean, you could say that about anything. I don't think it's a specific.
Do we have to name our fetish next?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Sobriety
and monogamy. That's what I like.
Sure, you do. Balloons. I would go with bipolar.
Okay.
Because you could get a lot done, and then you could take a break. Self-enforced, very bleak.
Why
break.
Not go for it and just be tripolar?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What is that? You wear a Napoleon hat and think you're Napoleon?
Sure.
Well, that's a tricorner. Anyway.
How about I'm the disease that makes you laugh at everything?
I just
really enjoy this podcast. How's that sound?
That sounds like a terrible mental illness. Next question. Physics! Exclamation mark.
Yeah.
What are your favorite laws of physics?
Thermodynamics.
This is not a good.
I like the law of thermodynamics.
This is not a good question for this show.
Why?
Because this is for the caustic soda people, I think.
Or science, yes.
Or science, us.
Is it science, us?
Science, us. Yeah.
Sorry about that. So, we're going to be doing a co-show with Science, Us and Dazed and Convicted folks on January 4th at back of Slickety Jim's. I think it's like Fat Slack Jacks Hack Fack Knack, whatever it is. Go to Slickety Gems. Go in the back of it. That's going to be 7 o'clock January 4th, and it's free. So all three of us are going to be doing a podcast then.
Yep.
Maybe we'll run that by them. Anyway, thermodynamics is my answer.
My favorite physical thing that people talk about, or we're talking about, is super string theory.
Oh, that's pretty good, too.
I love that. Mm. I think that's a lot of fun.
We're all a bunch of vibrating strings.
Oh, yeah.
We're basically music. We're just music.
The whole kind of multiverse, or the dimensionals, all these sort of 13 dimensions. And I just think the idea that you, in order to make your math work, is you have to invent this crazy scenario to make the math fit into the reality. So you're like, okay, if this is true, if this mathematical function is true, then what that means is that there's 13 dimensions, and that part of this reality loops through that dimensional reality. And I just think it's rather fun.
I like the idea, again, that we're vibrating strings, mm-hmm. which to me is very similar to music. And it pairs quite nicely with both Finnish and other mythologies. I say mythologies. If you believe it, then that's fine. That say we were sang into existence.
Calling it a mythology doesn't make it not true.
Fair enough. But like, say we were sang into existence. It's like, oh, that sounds like a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But if we're vibrating strings and we're music, that's not a million miles off what it is. That's great. And hopefully we never stop the vibrations, because then we'd cease to exist. That'd be creepy. Stop. Keep the vibrations going, guys.
Good vibrations.
Listen, everybody, just for safety's sake, in case string theory is correct,
yep.
when you're walking down the street, give a little shake. Keep the vibrations
going. Keep the vibrations
going. Whatever you do, just give a little shake.
Yep. Little strawberry milkshake. What? Oh, he reveals his hobby.
Okay.
Cameron has a hobby.
Which is asking questions to podcasters.
Yes, he doesn't know very well. What are your thoughts on the furry community?
Oh, okay. Do you have thoughts first, or?
I have a friend who's involved in the furry community.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty heavily involved in the furry community. And my feeling about it is, good for you. Have fun.
Yeah. Pot for every lid.
Enjoy your time.
Yeah. There was a thing recently, wasn't it, where someone, like, there was a poisoning at a furry con?
Yes. That was kind of, what was interesting about that was the news people telling the story.
Yeah.
Had never heard of furries before.
Oh, for God's sake.
And were quite amused when they found out what it was.
Oh, I thought the opposite. Like, when I was looking at, maybe because people on online are a little bit smarter than people on the, there's a bunch of dummies on the news.
Yep.
Dave?
Sure.
I'm going to say this right now. Mm-hmm. You know the news?
Yeah.
Dummies.
Yeah.
They're just, look, if you watch the news in the morning in Vancouver,
yes.
fucking idiots. And you know, and here's what it is.
Watch the
second
news,
they have to go off prompter and do banter with each other, oh, it's just the cold sweats and like the most awkward first date. Terrible. And if they, God help them if they ask each other an opinion on something.
Yeah.
What do you think of the traffic? I don't know. It's okay. Stop asking me things. Oh, it's just,
well, okay. They're not allowed to have opinions, so.
Right.
They're the news people.
But surprisingly, and maybe these are just the sites I was reading things on.
Yeah.
But like, it was all sympathetic. All sympathetic. It was like, all these online sources that I think, even if once upon a time they were a little, what, about this, they know now.
Yeah.
You know what? Even if you don't get something or it doesn't float your boat.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. And just like, it's fine. You're going to look like an asshole if you say anything.
Yeah.
Sympathy all around. This was horrible. And there you go. Yeah. It seems like the tolerance train has come around to the first, except for, of course, news folk who, as we say, are dumbasses and are so far behind the curve that they've heard of nothing. Because you know why? Apparently they just watch their own news.
Yeah, that's about.
And they go home and they don't want to look up any more news, so there you go.
Having said that, there are elements of it that I don't enjoy.
Okay.
And that's just the kind
of... By the way, I want to say that Dave is dressed as an alligator while we're doing this podcast.
I'm dressed as a dragon.
Oh, is it a dragon?
Yeah.
Is our mascot a dragon?
Yes.
You know what? It took me 4 years, but I finally get it.
Finally get it.
I thought it was like, he's such a sneaky dragon, he dresses up like an alligator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You learn something every podcast.
Too much time at the dairy shed. I just feel like every picture, they have this particular kind of pose that they do. You know, that it's developed all these kind of shorthands of the kind of corny, there's a kind of corny element to it that I'm going to give you
a yes.
I don't like cliche in anything.
Okay, I'm going to give you a yes on that. But let me give you also a yes, which is, you know, here's the thing. I know a lot of burlesque girls.
Oh, do you?
I know a considerable amount.
Really?
The communities crossover between the comedy community and the burlesque community.
Oh.
I'm doing a show.
Why wouldn't it?
I'm doing a show at a theater tonight.
Guys telling jokes and women undressing. I see them.
Well, burlesque did have comedians back in the day. Like when burlesque clubs were burlesque clubs, you would have a comedian. So
really, Ian?
Yes, indeed.
Really, Ian?
You know what? People in gator outfits.
Are you telling me that Lenny Bruce worked a strip club when he was... is that what you're trying to tell me?
I yes. So...
You're telling me that his wife was a stripper?
Honey?
Sorry, deer? Are you talking to me?
No, her name was Honey. Anyway, let's get out the thesaurus. I think these all work. Sorry, that gator costume is fetching.
The cinnamonizer.
Yeah. But the cinnamonizer. Yabba dabba do. Here's the thing about burlesque. Yeah. Okay. Now, if you were to tell me when I was a young man that there's a type of theater in town. Now, here's what happens. All these beautiful women,
yeah,
like very beautiful women, sure, of all different body types,
yeah,
they come up and they will dance, mm-hmm, and they will strip and, you know, down to tassels and whatever, and yeah, be
pasties.
Pasties, be flirting with you. And so you go like, oh, that sounds like the greatest show. Like the greatest show you ever seen.
Sounds great.
But you go to a burlesque show,
yeah,
and three dancers deep. Ugh, I'm bored. Why? It's amazing. And it's because it's all similar, right? Some, yeah, though, do an amazing different thing, and that's great.
Yeah. Some but do a horrifyingly different thing.
Right. But it's like going to an open mic night at a stand-up club, and you're like, yeah, here's this again. Okay. Here we go. But when I see photos, everyone, yeah, does the same photo,
yeah,
which is the Betty Page surprised, I can't believe there's a photographer here,
yeah,
while I was in my bra and panties and while I'm washing my dog. Like, I can't believe a photographer walked, yeah, into the room.
I'm gonna deep cut you and, okay, say that they all look like a Gil Evgren painting.
So. All right, that is a very deep cut.
Thank you.
And the first cut is the deepest.
The first cut is the deepest, baby.
Yeah. Actually, the first cut doesn't hurt at all. The second only makes you wonder. But this, ooh, look, yeah, okay, yeah, find a new one.
Sure.
Find a new one. It's great. It's a great look.
Yeah.
But find something different.
What would be better? A grimace?
You know what? I wouldn't mind that. I would like a scowling kind of old man shaking the fist. I would, you know, if a lady who's dressed in a sexy outfit shaking her fist and like, get off my lawn. There's something sexy about that. Yeah.
I'm sure I've told this story, but the most horrifying.
You're the naughty boy who won't stay off the lawn.
Oh, wow.
She might get angry. What will she do next? Give you a spanking? Who knows? Better than her. Like, right. Ooh, I can't believe you walked in.
Calm me down here. You're going to have to spray me with water. This was actually when we went to see Rocky Horror Picture Show with my kids and my nephew, and then there was a stripper before.
We get it. You're a cool dad.
No, I'm not a
You're
cool dad.
You're a cool dad.
And
Dad's taking you to Rocky Horror.
There was one.
Do you guys want to stop and get some beers on the way?
That's right. At the dairy shed? And then,
hey, kids, never get herpes. Trust me. Trust your old man. Never get herpes. It's a real drag, man.
Was it a coincidence that it was Herbie the Love Bug? That's so similar, isn't it?
Yep.
We went, and this woman, and good looking. I saw her in the, when we were getting our seats, she walked by and smiled at me because I was standing there and I looked at her because I couldn't stop myself. And so she came up on stage.
Mm-hmm.
She was stripping.
Yeah.
She stripped down.
Yeah.
She turned around.
Yeah.
Then she turned back and she was wearing Groucho Marx glasses with the nose and the mustache kind of thing.
I might know who you're talking
about. And she was jumping jacks.
Yep.
To this kind of finale thing.
Right.
Horrifying. Terrible. All of us scarred for life. The whole family, plus my nephew.
Hooray for Captain Spaulding, the African explorer.
Exactly. Jump up and down, boobs shaking, the rest of the body moving around in this weird way.
And you're asked, like, where do asexuals come from? Right then. We just made a bunch.
That's right.
Enjoy.
That's right. Down the street, the eunuch society had four volunteers show up. I no longer want my penis. I think they keep their penises.
Yeah, they do. I was going like, that's a bad Unix society.
They keep missing.
Yeah.
With that guy, aim better? And then he asks, oh, this is for me. He says, David, do you really not know what Tumblr is all about?
Hmm.
I do know what Tumblr is all about. Have I made jokes about Tumblr?
I don't know.
I do know what Tumblr is all about.
It's all about missing that E that's necessary to spell the word Tumblr.
Tumblr. And I follow people on Tumblr. Sneaky Dragon is on Tumblr.
Yep.
We cross-post. I don't do any special things for Tumblr. I just cross-post onto it.
I think the answer is Tumblr's for porn, Dave.
I don't think it's for porn.
Yep.
I don't think that's true.
Dave?
Yeah.
It's for porn.
I don't think so.
Yep.
It's more for silly GIFs.
Yeah.
That are porn.
No, it's for porn.
No, it's not.
Yep.
You're thinking of Grindr.
No, not
Tinder.
Yeah, that's a different thing. That's a hookup site. Nope, Tumblr. Tumblr's for porn. It's for porn.
I've never seen any on there.
By the way, here's the tip, everybody, for what to do. Like, oh, I'm on my iPad. Oh, no, I don't want it to show what I was looking at. Like, get a separate Tumblr app, and then you look at your stuff on that Tumblr app. No one's going to look at your Tumblr app, because why would they? And then you keep your regular browser nice and pristine. That's your tip. Tumblr's for porn, Dave.
What it's kind of amusing is that...
Not hardcore. Oh, okay. Just generally, you want to see ladies dressed as Captain America, but naked? That's where you go, is your Tumblr.
Oh. I don't follow any of that.
Not that I know of this.
Yeah.
Oh, are we bringing kids into this right now?
Sure.
All right, let me back out of here.
Back, beep.
Dave, let me
beep,
just back out of this. Beep. Let's just talk about something beep, real quick.
Okay.
And just like, Mary Hook just got her cherry blossoms candy in the mail. She thank you for your thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed them. And those pictures of your dog posing with them were adorable.
Yeah.
And I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry.
Okay, back to the
Mary?
Thing about your, now that
Mary?
We've done this, let's talk about your daughter now that we're a good distance away from that last conversation.
She posted a porn clip on Tumblr. Did I bring it back
You're
around?
You're a terrible cool dad.
Did I bring it back
cool
around?
Cool dad.
It was
cool dad.
It was this thing of...
he's the worst guy in the world. Cool dad.
This rather chesty lady speaking to a foreign gentleman.
Right.
Who is new to his office position.
Okay.
And asks her, what does a secretary do?
Uh-huh.
And she says to him... She says to him, "Oh, I'll run errands for you. If you haven't had breakfast, I'll go get something to eat. Uh-huh. I'll take, I'll bring something for you. I'll water your plants. I'll suck your dick." And then he goes, "What? Pardon me?" She goes, "Water your plants?" And that's where it ends. That's where the clip ends. So I thought, yeah. Someone just posted that, I guess. I thought it was amusing that she goes, "Water your plants?" That's the part he wants her to repeat.
Right.
Not the second dick.
Yeah. Dictaphone, use your finger like everyone else. That would make sense if people use the dial system.
Still,
it's weird. You know what? Yeah. I think this episode has been a bit too Christmassy.
Too Christmassy? It's not the
Christmas episode. It's like all we're okay.
It's not the Christmas episode.
Well, it's the first episode. Like by the time the next episode airs, it will be after Christmas. So this is our pre-Christmas episode.
Pre-Christmas, that's different.
All right.
All bets are off.
Is there another question?
One more.
Okay, good, because I got a split soon.
Ian.
Oh, it's for me.
Yep. What's the worst?
Hey, Cameron, what's up? It's your old pal, Ian.
Ian?
By the way, you know what Tumblr's for, right, Cameron? Cameron, do you know what Tumblr's for? You know. That's why you're asking. Asked and answered, Cameron.
He thought it was a site for acrobats. Ian, what's the worst, most interesting heckle you got from the crowd during a stand-up show? You've ever had from a stand-up show?
Okay. Well, now, it was, to be fair, it was from... Okay. The story I'm trying to think which one to tell. All right, I'm just going to tell this one instead, because I've told the other one already on the show. We're doing a show in on the island, on Vancouver Island, and Courtney, BC it was.
Courtney Cox?
Yeah, no, just Courtney BC. Oh, enough of your dirty mouth, okay? Enough of your filthy mouth.
Sorry.
You take that stuff to Tumblr, young man.
I will.
Because that's where it belongs.
Sure.
Along with a sexy Wolverine. Anyway. Seriously, you look up sexy Wolverine, Tumblr is the first thing that's going to come up. Sexy whatever.
Yep.
Sexy Flintstones. And Tumblr. We'll take it right there.
I won't talk about Andy
Sexy
Dick.
Snoopy.
I won't talk about Andy Dick.
There you go. So, anyway. So, I'm going
You're
up.
You and Courtney.
I'm doing a set. And now the backstory you got to realize is none of these bars want stand-up there. They're having stand-up once a month so that because of a law... that says if you are a kind of variety venue and doing like an hour of something once a month means you are.
Yeah.
The cheapest thing you can get is stand-up comedy. That's why they've got us there.
Yeah.
And because they have this means they can stay open 2 hours later every night because they're like a variety venue.
Sure.
That's for the entire month they can do this.
Wow.
So they don't want us there, but they have to have us there. So we're up there like a yappy dog that's just bark, bark. We don't want the dog here, but if you want a drink for an extra 2 hours, we got to let the dog bark once a month for an hour.
Yeah.
Okay. So I go up
interrupting the stripper. Doesn't the stripper count as a variety act?
You know what? That's a little bit on the fence. And in England, yes.
Okay.
Here, no. So, but that is true, actually. You can actually get your equity card as a stripper. Some women get their equity, like theater card, as a stripper. And some gentlemen get their equity card as a shitty magician. They become a magician because there's more magician work, and then they can go work in the theater.
I see.
Anyway,
okay,
that's a different story.
Sure.
So I'm doing my act and getting this.
There isn't. It's true. There is not a lot of variety to stripper acts.
There you go. There. So I'm getting nothing.
Yeah.
I'm getting mild. I'm getting. I'm getting a little bit of and then getting some anger.
Yeah.
And so
you're in front of the television.
Right. So The next guy who comes up. Now, I'm taking this heckle for both of us because I pissed them off and then he brought it home.
Okay.
So it's we're double teaming okay. the audience with annoyance.
Sure.
So he's coming up and he's an LA guy who the whole time we're there is telling me how well he's doing.
Sure.
Always telling me how well he's doing. And yeah, I want to go like, we're both in Courtney. We're both doing Courtney well.
Gig, yeah.
This is why we're both here.
Yeah.
So this is how we're doing. So he goes and he starts getting into the audience's face and they're getting madder and madder and madder. And then the audience, there's a gasp. And then the audience goes dead quiet, dead quiet. And he's still doing his bit. He's pounding, really quiet. And then I have the manager comes up to me and goes like, you got to get that guy to shut the hell up. I'm like, what's going on? And then I noticed that a guy has, like, in the front row has taken out a gun and put it on the table in front of him, as in a, you better shut your mouth. But the way the lighting is, he can't see the guy.
Yeah.
So he can't see that the guy has taken out the gun.
Yeah.
So he's just
what
like.
What kind of gun was it?
It was like a handgun, but it was a substantially large handgun.
Okay.
As in, like, if a bear comes into this bar,
yes.
bear's going to die.
He's loaded for bear.
That's right. Three shots and the bear's dead. Or one shot and the comedian's dead. So comedian is like, anyway, you and your faggot mother, goddamn, C word this and F word that, and blah, 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 you think you're a Christian. And just like right at him. and so I have to go on stage and like, oh, I wait for like any semblance of a sort of laugh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's the laugh. And here we go. And I'm clapping. I'm bringing off. No, I'm not finished. Yeah, you're finished. Like, no, you're not finished. Yeah, you're finished. Big round of applause for. I pull the microphone out. I drop it on the ground so he can't talk. What the hell are you doing? We're going away. And gonna da 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 boo. Drag him off.
Yeah.
So, and then I let him know that there was a gun there.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we were told that, yeah, sorry, that normally doesn't happen. Everyone has to check their knives at the door, but we don't normally have guns, so we didn't ask him to check that. And it was like, they check their knives at the door? Yeah. And they have this big pile of knives at the coat check.
Makes sense.
And just like, oh, boy. So no one was going to stab us, but what a funny story. We almost got shot.
Well, we do forget like what a rough and tumble place British Columbia is because of it's a resource province.
And
so you have a bunch of people working really, really
right. And it's reasonable to think there might be a bear. Where you are too,
yeah, that too.
Like it's conceit. Like
I don't think a knife is much defense against a bear.
No, you're really not going to do it. The guy with the gun actually is smarter with that. But some of the people would have guns in their trucks or guns nearby that they could get to. But
you never know when you'll need a knife to do something.
Yeah. That was probably the heckle for me was a gun on table.
That is a heck of a heckle.
Yeah, there's not a lot of comebacks you can make to that except like I'm going to bleed on you. Ouch. How do you like this?
Yes.
So, Dave, before we wrap up, any plans for Christmas?
Well, I just want to actually promote something, which
please
is
do.
I am going to be this is late as usual. I should have mentioned this last show,
There's
but I'm
no
such a terrible
place like
such a terrible plugger. But
for plugs like the holidays,
I'm going to be I don't know what you call me, Man Friday for David M for his.
You're going to be a burlesque
Christmas
dancer.
I'm going to be a burlesque dancer with my Groucho Marx glasses at David M's No Fun. Christmas Alone in No Fun City, 2014.
Favorite guest of the show, David M.
29th year of that show.
Really?
Yeah.
Very good.
Wow. So, yeah. So
I'll this
be
time,
there.
He's going to get it completely perfect.
We're going to do it so well. It's
because 29 times, you've had enough time to hone it to perfection. It's going to shine like glass.
He has so many songs for it. He could do 4 shows in a row.
And he will.
He will. He would if you would let him, yeah. I'll be there. I'll be holding cue cards.
Okay.
I'm going to be
shaking. Because he hasn't memorized it for
shaking some sleigh bells.
Years.
No, it's for the audience.
Okay.
The classic 12 Gifts of Christmas, which he did on our show.
So it's similar to a British pantomime, where there's a sing-along.
Yes, there is a sing-along. There's a few sing-alongs.
Right.
And then
the men will be played by ladies, and the ladies will be played by men.
Real men.
Where are you going to find one of those?
In Courtney.
Oh.
And then I'm going to be shaking some sleigh bells, and I will be intoning a Christmas dirge, so that will be fun.
Oh, you can
as
be
well.
Dirging.
We'll be dirging for this one.
Oh, nice. Everyone likes a nice dirge at Christmas.
Everyone loves dirges at
so
Christmas.
So when is this happening?
So this will be happening on December 21st, which is Sunday, this Sunday, the day after the show comes out, basically.
Yeah. Now,
and
some people might know that as the day that the days start getting longer.
The days stop
actually,
getting longer.
It's equinox.
It's the stop getting longer day.
No. It's the start getting longer.
It's the longest day of the year.
Nope. Not at all.
21st of December, yeah.
No.
When's the longest day of the year?
The 21st of June.
What?
21st of June is the longest day of the year.
Oh, sorry. Shortest day of the year is December.
That would be correct.
Sorry. I'm sorry. The dates are getting longer. Oh,
yeah, you
sorry.
Were thinking
I was mixed up.
You were thinking opposites.
It's opposite day. It was Wacky Wednesday.
Dave?
Yeah.
You're opposite Dave.
I'm opposite Dave. Exactly. Yeah. It's at 9 o'clock. the Railway Club, which is on Dunsmuir Street in Vancouver.
Which is a fun little club.
It's a lovely little club and has a train that runs around it.
It does.
And
it's the only train that still runs in Canada.
That's true.
It's not true. We still have lots.
No, it's the only train. You said it. It's true. And so it's the 21st of December. It's a Sunday, 9 o'clock, Railway Club. I will be there. Hopefully David M. will walk down the street carrying an inflatable Superman in his nightgown, as he once did many years ago for my... I always remember that. It's one of my favorite memories.
Will you be a Dave of Christmas Past?
I don't think I'll be a Dave of Christmas Past.
Is everyone who's working on the show named David?
No.
Because that would be a nice theme.
That would be good.
Will you open the window at some point and go, boy, what Dave is it?
Dave is it.
Yeah, what Dave it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, David Dedrick, sir. Then the Daves did it all in one Dave night.
Yes.
Oh, I would like to see the 12
Daves. You stole the show. We have to take it out of the act.
I would like to see the 12 Daves of Christmas now.
Well, just wait.
Oh, man, that does sound good. All right. You're going to... We're going to
12 Davids piping.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You going to keep going?
That's...
Oh.
11 Daves a milking?
Yep. 10 Daves a swimming?
No, 10 Daves a courting.
Okay. 9 Davies dancing?
9 Daves a dancing.
8
Daves
a milking?
No, I think it's 11 maids a milking, isn't it? Is it 8 maids a milking? I'm sorry. 7. I'm going in the wrong direction. So I start with a David and a pear tree.
Yeah. 7 Daves dyslexing.
7 Daves... 6 Daves forgetting.
5 Daves a milking at the sex club that was a barn.
5 milking Daves. 4 calling Daves. 6 French Daves.
Wait. You've gone to 4 to 6?
It's the opposite, Dave.
That's 3 Daves who don't know math. And 2 Daves interrupting the first Dave, so we never get to the first Dave.
I thought we agreed. It's opposite Dave.
It is opposite Dave. But that's not... Being bad at math isn't opposite Dave, because that would mean you were excellent at math. And we're now talking to opposite Dave.
I am excellent at math. Therefore, I have to pretend that I'm not good at math to be opposite Dave.
Sounds... not all right. Fair enough. You know what? It's a Christmas miracle that we got through this show at all. Because I got to go take 6 naps right now. But I can't. I got to go do the Critical Hit Show. I got to go do the Critical Hit Show. By the time you guys listen to this, that will have done. But I'm officiating a fake wedding tonight.
Oh, wow.
2 of our characters are getting married.
That's right.
Will something horrible happen? Probably.
Horribly good.
We'll see. Hopefully somewhat funny. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully I can stay awake for the whole thing.
That'd be good.
And by the time I do next week's show, Christmas will have passed. We'll have Christmas stories to tell.
Yes.
I've got lots of family stuff going on. We'll see how that all works out.
Oh, wow.
And I will
no wonder you're tired.
And I will have been taking vitamin D for Dave for a week.
Vitamin D for Dave.
Hopefully I will be more awake than I am this show.
My presence has been known to wake people up.
That's right. Christmas presents.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the kind of stupid puns we're going to be doing. Those of you that are tuning in for the very first time, this is this is a typical show. Maybe some of you have spun to the end and go like, how's this end? There we go.
That's all we get.
Yeah, I don't even know why I'm wrapping this one up, because it's your job to wrap this up.
It is, but you always
like a Christmas
you
present.
You like to wrap them up, so I just let you do it.
No, I just like to end things.
Oh, is that
so
what
I'm
it
just
is?
Like, oh, we're going to be going on forever.
Oh,
we don't.
David.
I better like lead Dave towards the exit.
Dave at the helm.
And I'm sorry, everybody, I want to apologize for all the things I said about Australians on this show.
Why?
I also want to apologize for all the things I said about our North American hick listeners. Our European listeners.
You're not as cultured as you think you are.
You take that back. You take that back.
I take it back.
Okay.
You guys are cultured.
Everybody, I hope you all have a happy holiday, whatever you're celebrating.
Yes.
Celebrating your Hanukkah. I know that's going on. You're celebrating your Christmas. If you're English or you're Canadian, I hope you have a lovely Boxing Day as well. And I hope one day you figure out what the heck Boxing Day means. No one knows.
No one knows. They don't really know, actually.
That's right.
Even the people who celebrate it don't know where.
Try to watch Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Watched it.
You'll notice you will not see Peppermint Patty. You will not see a Marcy on there. Guess why? Because they don't celebrate Christmas.
They weren't created that time.
That's maybe one reason. Maybe the other reason was they just weren't interested. Maybe.
One's an atheist and one's Jewish. There you go.
Yeah.
Which one's which?
I think that's pretty obvious, isn't it?
How?
So anyway, Dave's going to wrap up this episode.
Well, thank you, Ian, for wrapping up the episode. And let me just add before we go. What, you
as
say
we go out of sight.
As we go out of sight.
Sneaky dragon to all.
Out of mind.
Good.
What's that, sorry?
Please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say something.
No. You know what? You'd be a terrible co-pilot. You know, we'd be landing the plane, and you'd just be keeping pulling the nose up and like flying around the airport one more time. And like, no, just land it.
Let me try this one more time.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me go. Let me try ending the show. Thank you for listening, everyone. Best of the season. Season greetings. Seasonal greetings. Seasonal disorders. Goodbye, everyone.
I'm so very, very sorry. Merry Christmas, everybody. Put the purr and
wait,
purr.
I didn't.
Okay.
By the way, we have our opening.